This talk is offered by Ordinary Mind Zendo. Ordinary Mind was founded by Barry Magid, Dharma heir of Charlotte Joko Beck, and is dedicated to her vision of a psychologically minded Zen practice adapted to the needs of American students practicing in the context of their everyday lives. Our public programs are made possible by donations from people like you.
Master Basso had been ill for some time. One day his attendant asked him, "How are you feeling today, Master?" Basso said, "Sun-faced Buddha, moon-faced Buddha." I remember back in the 80s when I started to go out to San Diego for long sessions for the first time. I was very preoccupied with the problem of getting enough sleep. I always needed a lot of sleep. I always wanted my 8 hours. Just didn't know how I was going to do that with the sesshin schedule there. Although going out to the West Coast in many ways worked to my advantage because of the 3-hour time difference, it made it much easier to get up early in the morning, fall asleep early at night. But for many sesshins, I remember always being sort of anxious as the evening came around, what time we were going to get to bed, how I'd be able to fall asleep, and the sleeping arrangements there, you know, where everyone slept in groups in the Zendo, so you'd only get to sleep when the last person fell asleep. And there's always snoring, there's always, you know, problems with that. In any case, I made myself quite miserable over this, I think. Until one day, I don't know exactly when or how, but just I said to myself, "Well, I guess I'll simply sit sleeping." And as great spiritual revelations go, that may not sound like much, but it was actually life-changing for me, in that there was a complete letting go of a certain attempt at control and resistance, and a willingness to simply have whatever happened next happen. If that meant I felt lousy or was sleepy or nodded off, well, I guess that's just what was going to happen. And it was really out of my hands. But somehow I just let myself go into that. Maybe I slept a little better as a result, maybe not. A case of Master Basso is found both in the Blue Cliff Record and the Book of Equanimity, and the image of sun-faced Buddha that lives 1800 years and the moon-faced Buddha that lives one day. It's very dramatic and is often cited. And yet I think it's easily misunderstood because it is easily sort of incorporated into our own fantasies of what we'd like practice to do for us. See, in a certain, what we're all tempted to do with this koan, I think, is to hear it as, I live 1,800 years, I live one day. It's all the same to me, right? My enlightened mind has the equanimity to not be in any way perturbed by difference. And I think the error there is in our desire to imagine a single state of mind, of equanimity, that is unchanging regardless of circumstance. The calligraphy, the picture we have up by the staircase, that Hotai mark-like figure there with the big belly, the calligraphy around that, I'm told, says, a mind like tofu. In a round bowl, it's round. In a square bowl, it's square. And again, how we understand that can tilt in a couple different, very different directions. You see, it's easy to imagine that this tofu maintains a kind of consistency regardless of what bowl it's put into. It's soft and pliable, and it just doesn't matter whether it's in a square bowl or a round bowl. It's still the same soft, you know, delicious tofu. It's the unperturbed or unchanged by its container. And yet we can turn it around in the other direction and really see that the tofu has no shape of its own, but is entirely shaped by its circumstance. Square or round is not dependent on what it is, but where it is. And the question is, what do we really want practice to do for us, or what's our fantasy of what practice is going to do for us? And I think that we all have a fantasy of maintaining a certain state of imperturbability, regardless of circumstance. And we can be quite upset, sometimes quite upset at ourselves, if it doesn't work out that way. In part, that's what was so frightening to young Hakuin when he heard the story that Ganto let out a terrible scream when he was murdered by bandits. And Hakuin, you know, was very troubled by the idea that a great Zen master could not maintain perfect equanimity even, you know, when he was being killed. Hakuin became a monk trying to cope with his own fears. And what hope was there for him if Ganto screamed when he died? See, it's very easy to have pictures of practice that focus on one mastery. And we have lots of stories, I think, of masters who announce a few days in advance when they're going to die. Morning comes and they sit in full lotus on their seat, call for a pen and paper, write a perfect death poem, and die sitting up, right? That's the way it's supposed to be, right? If you can't do that, you've really wasted all your time sitting on the cushion, right? You really, right? You must be a real failure at this. So you saw the sun-faced Buddha and the moon-faced Buddha too easily get co-opted into our curative fantasy of maintaining Buddha-like equanimity in any circumstance, right? And yet, is that really what we aspire to or imagine or would even want? If we, like the tofu, were poured from a beach blanket in the sun to a bed in the ICU, we maintain our consistency, our imperturbability? Are we really supposed to not feel or be any different from our radical change in circumstance? So part of us wishes that was what it was all about. But I don't think it is or can be. Maybe it can be for some people some of the time. Sometimes, you know, no doubt that there were old masters who did pull off an imitation of dying in full lotus with perfect composure. Maybe somebody manages that. But Joko always used to say that it's a terrible travesty of practice to think, you know, that even dying becomes something you have to do right. For her, dying was sort of quintessentially the experience that you can't control, that forces you to give up your last illusions of mastery and autonomy, self-sufficiency. I think it's an everyday Zen. She has that image of our life as a glider in a hurricane, just completely buffeted around by the winds. First one wing is torn off, then the other wing is torn off. There goes the rudder, and we're headed straight to earth. Where's your Zen practice then, right? Is it going to be in just maintaining perfect calm as you head to the ground, right? Or will you let out a good shout like Ganto? As we sit today thinking of Mark in his hospital bed, I think we should all watch our own expectations for how we imagine we should handle ourselves under those circumstances. It's wonderful if our practice brings us calm or humor that we can bring to dire circumstances. But I think it's more important that practice lets us be aware of our expectations of self-perfection and helps us let go into being simply human when the time comes.